some pals, and there's also therapy too.
Okay, I don't know how, I should have said this before, but I don't know if this is going to need to be two parts because I do have 9 pages of notes.
Holy nutcrackers.
So let's just get through like an hour and a half, you guys, and okay. Let's see how that goes. And if we need to pause and make a new recording for the next one, then we'll go from there. But
that's beautiful.
Okay. So let us start. Oh my gosh, the master plan. This is a freaking.
This is so exciting.
It's so exciting, Maddie. This.
The moment we've all been waiting for.
Literally the moment we've all been waiting for. This is insane.
Do you like my Ben voice?
I love the Ben voice. In the world. Now you're just fucking around, Jerry. Jerry. That's not what he says.
Bobby,
he doesn't say
Newport.
Fucking. Bobby Newport. All right, Jerry. Now you're just wasting time. Anyway, all right. So The Master Plan, season 2, episode 23. I have labeled this as the most awkward episode so far. Like, and by awkward, I just mean like kind of cringy because there's like so many cringe moments just mm-hmm. with like everything being changed around. Everyone's like sad and depressed. Like Mark's all depressed. Anne doesn't know what she's like doing either.
Anne doesn't know who she is anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's the feeling I'm getting.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's the vibe.
Leslie's angry. Ben, what the hell is going on with him? Like, there's just mm-hmm. a lot going on. So I'm very excited to get into it. This was directed by Dean Holland, our guy. Yay, so exciting. Yay. He's the backbone of editing. If you're just now joining us for, he was the backbone of editing for The Office, and then he moved over to Parks and Rec, and then he did The Good Place. So he's definitely in the Sureverse. Mm-hmm. And he also worked on / produced a few specials. He did Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally's special, which is great.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. And then did you have you ever watched that show Love or heard of it?
Was Anne Hathaway in it?
No, it's the gal from Community, the blonde haired girl that was in it.
Oh, Britta. I can't stand her in that
I actually have only watched a couple episodes, so I know that I'd like it, but I haven't like committed to it. But anyway, she's in this show called Love with this other guy who was actually in Parks and Rec briefly, like in one episode. But anyway, Dean Holland directed that too. And he's also a producer and editor and all these things. So, beautiful. And then we've got, this was written by Mike Schur.
Oh my Yay.
God. Dream team. I have nothing really to say about his background because you guys obviously already know. Hello. I don't, you know, yeah. Like we're not going to do that. But I do have some like things to say about this specific episode that I found that he was talking about in interviews and things. So he said that the idea of Pawnee's government problems were inspired by news reports at the time of a number of states, like so back in 2010, shutting down schools, parks, and other services due to the global recession. Which is really interesting to me.
This did happen a couple of years ago. I don't think I lived in the States. I didn't live in the States when this came out. So I had no reference mm-hmm. for this happening. But I do remember a couple of years ago, probably during the pandemic, right? The government shut down and all the parks were closed.
Oh, yeah.
And that
yeah.
was crazy.
Right. Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. I don't know. Did the government shut down itself or was it just that they were closing parks for the pandemic? I don't remember.
I think it was political, something with Trump.
Okay, got it.
That's
well, and they have done this like a handful of times in our lifetime, so it is a real thing. So yeah, and definitely in that time it was the recession was happening. So they were basing, this is kind of getting back because we haven't had, and I remember in a couple like of the episodes at the beginning of season 2, they were really trying to take real life things and put them into the show. But we mm-hmm. we hadn't really had that happen. I mean, obviously things, every art imitates life and vice versa, whatever. But we haven't really had specific things, I feel, recently. Because remember how like Dexart was based on a real governor?
Right.
And so
the beauty pageant thing was based yes. on a real thing, too.
Exactly. Yes. Beauty pageant. Great example. So things like that. Oh, and I'm going to just hold on really fast.
I feel like I know what you're doing.
Yes.
I was like, I wonder if she did that on purpose, because what if something fucks up in my audio?
Totes forgot. but anyway, okay,
we had so a lot of,
I'm gonna
lot
leave
happening.
That in, you guys. What happened is that I was recording because I don't feel like editing it out. No, basically.
And people need to know the legit shit that goes on here.
Legit shit. That's okay, we have fair. Wedding planning going on, everyone. We talked about it for like an hour before we got on mic. So we have wedding planning going on. And I'm not going to have as much time to edit. And that's why it's also like there's just everything going on in our plate. It's not just wedding planning. Like, I'm not trying to say that that's mm-hmm. all of it. Hello, it's just like life. But I forgot to click record.
It's the cherry on top.
Yeah, that's the cherry on top, which is great because it is really a cherry on top. By the time it comes to September, we will be glad that we did all this.
So true.
But anyways, I forgot, you guys, audience, park pals, I forgot to click record on Zoom, and I usually have that as a backup. And so y'all need to know that we also do GarageBand recording. And so that's what was happening. But they can't hear. It sucks because maybe not sucks. Maybe they did this on purpose. But they can't hear when the little lady, there's a robot lady that says, recording has started. And I can't.
That was pretty accurate.
That's my impression of her.
Yeah.
I've named her Julie in my head. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, shut up, Julie.
She is now Julie.
It's like Julie, Siri. Anyway, okay. So back to Mike Schur. So I also read that he cited stories about Kansas City shutting down at the time. So several of their public schools had shut down, which is wild. Like, that they would have to close several of public schools. And then Idaho also was threatening to shut down the state parks department. Similar measures were also being discussed in states like New York, New Jersey, and California at the time. And then he also said that he thought it was really funny that municipal plans and budgets are actually called the master plan, which is the title of this episode.
Cool.
So that is based off of a real life, event / thing. So, and then the writing staff actually believed that the title of the episode was appropriate because the subplots, which I thought was really interesting, I wouldn't have thought about this, and you'll have to tell me what you feel after I say it, but the writer said that the subplots of this episode, the master plan, revolved around the various plans of the characters, because Leslie is dealing with the literal master plan, right? The budget proposal and all that stuff. And then April's plan is to seek a romantic relationship with Andy, and because she's actually like going for it in this episode, I feel. Well, except for when she messes up with John Ralphio, but whatever.
They both are.
They both.
But they miss the mark.
Yeah, they miss the mark.
There's miscommunication.
Yeah.
And childness.
And childishness. That's so true. Thank you for fixing. And then Tom's plan is to find a girlfriend at April's birthday party. So it's just really interesting.
And Anne has no plan.
And Anne has
which checks out for where she's at.
Exactly. Well, her plan was to break up with Mark. And so she is just dealing with the repercussions of that.
Right.
So it's interesting.
It is.
So anyway, so that's kind of what my little breakdown on Mike Schur and what he was saying about this episode. But now I have summary written, so I'm ready when you are.
Beautiful. All right, here we go. Summary for Master Plan. Let's party because it's April's 21st birthday, and we all know that for her present, she wants Andy.
Woo!
And his birthday song named November.
Oh my God, the best.
The office briefly celebrated before the depressing arrival of two auditor hotshots from Indianapolis. Leslie and Anne make two very different first impressions.
Yay! Oh my gosh. Yeah, very different first impressions. Oh my gosh. That is hilarious and a great point.
Yeah, thanks.
So this cold open, we have April getting presents for her birthday. And Leslie gives her this framed picture with her parking pass, her intern application, her first paycheck. I like this gift. I think it's so thoughtful.
I knew you would. I knew you would. You would love it. It's so accurate. But honestly, I'm very similar in the sense that if I find like my Berkeley ID, right? I'm not throwing that away.
I know.
Like that's a huge memory. Like I still have my ID from when I helped my mom with Sunday school.
Aww.
For like the 2 and 3 year olds. I still have my name tag from that. Like there's stuff that's like sentimental. It's such a, that's one of the Leslie things about me is for sure is that sentimental side. And I think this is just, that line is so perfect. Who is that from? Me. It's from me. Like it's just so accurate, you know?
I know.
It's
like nobody was questioning. So sarcastic. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great gift.
I know. Well, and I do understand that for some people it's obviously not cool because especially for April because Leslie's memorializing a job that she's not into. You
know? She's here for Andy.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah. She started it just because she was random, but now it's she's here for Andy for sure. But yeah, I definitely like this. And it's also kind of like a scrapbook thing because, I mean, I like throwing things away and I don't like clutter just because, like, experience with my mom's house and stuff. Mm-hmm. And my mom's even getting better at it now. But I still think things are sentimental. And I love that Marie Kondo moment of, like, you know, does this bring you joy? Or, and if it doesn't bring you joy now, can we, like, look at it and bring it joy for a brief second? So, like, leave it out when you're cleaning your house or cleaning anything. Like, leave it out for a brief second, maybe a day, maybe even a week. You might need a week to, like, say goodbye to it, thank it for its service, and then, like, you can let it go. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, props to the props department and the art department for making all of these things, because I feel like it's kind of amazing. And then her little speech after Leslie's little speech after presenting this award is just, like, so me. I feel like I would do that. But I love framing things. So I do have a friend wall. Like, I have a wall of all of my friends and I printed out pictures because, and we've talked about this in the podcast too. I just feel like nobody prints pictures anymore because you always think that you're just going to look at them on your phone. But, like, you randomly, you rarely do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's important.
Yeah.
I still like printing pictures.
Yeah. And I get it. It's a lot of work, but it's okay.
I think I sent you like 6 in your box.
Oh, wait, what? I was like,
I can't pick which one I like.
Yeah. Maddie sent a wedding bridesmaids / maid of honor box to everybody, and she sent me pictures, and it was so cute. I love it. And we'll also be wearing our robe and our little having our water bottle, not water wearing bottles. Our water bottle.
Yeah. What you doing?
Yeah. So yeah, anyway. I love that. I still have that. I also have a wedding, like, box with all the stuff from the engagement that I said I was going to bring to the bridal shower. So, oh my God. Also, the Amazon stuff came that I ordered. I haven't opened it yet, but I saw the box and I was like,
I'm not taking a picture.
You're not going to see it. It's a surprise.
Well, okay. I know. I like surprises.
Okay, good.
You know, I like surprises. So we're good.
Okay, good. Because I was going to say, you can see it if you want to, but now that I know that you like a surprise,
I like surprises.
Don't worry about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Ron gives her a gun. Gives April a gun.
And in the middle of, I love just the timing here is beautiful because Leslie's still in the middle of her speech and she opens the gun and everybody's like, what the fuck?
Oh my God. Yeah. And the thing, yeah, the sheer, like, contrast between Leslie and Ron's gift is hilarious. And also, this was the most, like, misogynist that I've ever seen, Ron. Switzerland, his line is, Switzerland has a pussy police force.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
How did they allow that on air?
I don't know. That, maybe, like, that's a lot.
I don't know. There's no really no way to justify it. I was going to say maybe it's like he didn't mean it in that way, but there's really no other way. I don't know how we would mean it. But, and especially when he says this small model, like, of gun is perfect for a skinny little thing like you.
I hate that. Hate it.
Gross.
Hate it. I also looked up Switzerland's police force.
Ooh.
Because I wanted to see if they actually look, I don't want to say it, but if they actually, like, if there was a problem, you know, like, do you really look like, and you know what? It's probably because they don't have as much crime as we do.
Right. 100%.
Gonna put that out there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, their cars look super, like, they have this, like, this, we'll post the pictures.
Oh, interesting.
But, like, what is that?
I don't know. It looks like a tank, like a truck, like a trash
does,
truck
huh?
or something.
It looks like a trash truck to me.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll post
And then
this.
They also have this one that's like a Jeep looking thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that looks more. So, yeah, that looks
more police-y.
Very, more European police. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, the police look exactly the fucking same as ours. So screw you, Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
There are 23,000 police officers, at least in a report that I read.
Yeah.
In 3 different tiers of the police force. Mm. And they have cantonal police force.
Okay.
Because there are 26 cantons of Switzerland. And I'm assuming that's states.
Oh.
Like a different version of,
like,
states.
Like different territories.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's all I found. But I was like, I'm going to look this up. And then I found a little bit of extra information. In case anybody cares.
Yeah, I care. I think that's really interesting. Because, yeah, every police force is different. But I honestly... Mm-hmm. He's just saying that because he's a libertarian and he wants there to be no government. And Switzerland has, like, the best, like, healthcare. And one of the best healthcare anywhere. Anyway, and it's, like, universal. And it's very, he thinks they're socialists. That's what I'm going to say.
Yes, correct.
But Ron is dumb at this point. But that's okay. And by dumb, I just mean in this little sentence. You know, we love Ron, but okay.
Yes, we love Ron.
Anyway, but I do like, I will say, I like that he at least wants her to be licensed and he holds on to the gun before handing it off to her because
yes.
I was going to say that's really problematic, especially in these times. I mean, all times, but especially now that awareness is being given to, like, you know, you're not actually trained or legally, you know, allowed to operate this piece of machinery that could literally kill someone and has killed people before. So I'm really glad that he's getting her licensed and actually training her to be able to operate this.
Yeah. Well, and he was just as upset when Tom didn't have his hunting license.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. And I think that he would, I would like to think anyway, I think that he would be cool. Cause like my thing is, I don't mind if you have a gun. I just need you to have a background check and be licensed. Like, I really don't understand how, why that's so hard. I don't want you to buy it on a black market. Is that really like so terrible? Like, I don't get it.
This state is the worst. We have guns at our Walmart. It scares the shit out of me.
Oh, we do too. We do too. Yeah.
I hate it.
And I'm just
that makes me uncomfortable. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. It does. No.
There's no way Walmart's running a background check before they pass that gun over to
it
you.
Should. Well, yeah, we should look that up. And it should make you like freak out slash be a little nervous. Yeah, it should. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think that's normal. But I do think that what I meant to say is that I think Ron would be fine with people getting a background check and like, you know, I think he
people being safe. He wants people to be safe because he doesn't want to lose his right.
Right. Exactly. There you go. Okay. We he solved Ron.
Yes. Done.
But anyway, he's it's funny, he's only feeling guilty about the present that he got her this talking head because he's regifting this gun.
I know, I love that so much.
Dumb, it's so funny
that we're like, that's not why that was okay.
I know. Sure. There is this cute Jerry moment. There's a deleted scene here of Jerry where he gives April this precious sweater slash like sweatshirt from a consignment shop. And he says it reminded him of her and she loves it. And she's like, "Ugh, I want to scream at you because I don't want to like this, but I really love that." And it's really cute sweater. It's like really colorful, kind of like quilt looking, like where there's patches of different colors. It's so cute, though, because I liked that scene because I think it shows that anyone can have a weakness for Jerry. If you're in the moment.
yeah Ben's the best example of that.
Totally. Well, now I'm at the shoeshine stand, if you are.
Yes. And I love Andy's outfit, this little denim moment.
Wait, what is he wearing?
I don't know if you remember what he's
wearing.
It was like a denim button-up shirt.
Yes.
Like, it's almost like he dressed up for her birthday. That's kind of how I felt.
Interesting. Denim is dressing up for Andy. I like that. Instead of wearing flannel.
And it's a button-up. Yeah. It's a button-up.
Yeah. I mean, technically the flannels are a button-up, too.
Yeah. Very true.
But no.
But don't look as fancy.
Don't look as fancy.
I love the high-fived five is her gift.
Yeah, I know, it's so cute, but like she kind of likes it at the same time because it's their special little thing where they do their own little high five at the top and then at the bottom. It's a very cute.
She looks so smitten.
Oh my god, so
in this
smitten.
Whole moment, like, good job Aubrey Plaza.
Yes,
like, this is just so well done.
Oh my god, speaking of Aubrey Plaza, I meant to tell you, I'll have to send you a picture, or maybe I don't think I posted it, but she was recently on the cover of Cosmo and she has an article.
I saw that.
On Cosmo, and all her pictures look so cool. I love it.
I love
like
her.
That's our girl.
Yeah
I love this too. And then our friend Kyle is back at the shoeshine stand. I feel like this especially was so random for him to be a part of because he didn't do anything.
Yeah,
he didn't say anything, but
he really didn't.
It's just really funny. But yeah, again, this is our like first flirty moment, like you said, where she's so smitten. And I guess I was trying to think about it. I guess they're okay because in the last episode, they didn't really have any closure or anything. But like she just felt better after Sewage Joe like came and Andy protected him from her. So I think they never really had a closure moment, but they seem fine. Like that was, I think, their closure. They didn't say it out loud, but it just happened.
Yeah, I mean, if we're being honest here, everything that we've seen so far, it's and it gets better later, but it's a very teenage level relationship.
Yes,
there's a lot of pettiness when one doesn't get what they want from the other. Really, it comes mostly from April because Andy's just too much of a golden retriever.
Yes,
for you know anything to be intentional. And I feel like we have that here again with you saying they have closure, but it wasn't said. I think a lot of times in those relationships when you're young, it's like, I mean, it's fine. they made up for it in this way, but we didn't talk through it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get more in those adult relationships, it's like, I mean, that did bother me. So let's talk through it. It's not like worth breaking up over, mm-hmm. but like, let's talk through it, yeah. you know? So I think that's, it's just another really good way that they've, even if it wasn't intentional,
yeah.
they've shown how young this relationship is.
I agree. You know? I think that's so smart. Yeah, I agree. Everything that you said. Cheers. That's so true because, well, and especially she's like you said, she's just trying to kind of be shy about it. Like smitten mm-hmm. also for her is like shy and like nervous, but also smiling around. And she's like walking backwards kind of. And mm-hmm. it's very middle school. That's a great way to put it. or even high school. Sure.
Even high school. Yeah.
I also love this. Andy says he named a song after a month in the year. And she's like, so April. No. That would have been smart.
That would have been smart. That would have been way better is what he said.
Right.
Oh, my Andy. God.
And then this yeah. talking head that April has of being 21. Everyone agrees it makes you an adult. So she's like, now I basically can get with Andy. Honestly.
Yeah. Literally, I think the only thing you can't really do at 21 is rent a rental car.
Yeah, that's true.
And you wait till 25.
Yeah. yeah. I agree with her that. Everyone pretty much agrees that you're an adult at 21. I don't think you're an adult mm-hmm. at 18. I don't think that.
No, I agree. I think not. You're still, I mean, there's literally a line later in here that says something like 18. Oh, Ben says it when he's talking about being a mayor at 18
yeah.
and he says 18-year-olds are idiots.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's like,
there you go.
Yeah. When you're 21, you've gone through a little bit of life of being on your own. And then I think you kind of, you know,
right.
you get that skill of being an adult
totally.
A little bit
And
better.
That's not to disregard people who had to grow up a lot earlier, obviously,
true.
Because some people are like 35 at 16, you know, yeah. like on a mental level.
Yeah. But for no, these I think we're talking about the average. Yeah.
and yeah. for April, especially. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was a long ass cold open.
Yeah, it was actually. I feel like a lot happened. Mm-hmm. There were like. Three full scenes, I feel. Well, the third one being the talking head. But yeah, I agree with that.
But still, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Much longer anyway. Than like the puppy one from last week or last time. You know what I mean? Which was great.
I love that.
But so yes, me too. Okay, now shoot him. So now we're getting to the actual master plan, which is this huge book of bureaucratic nonsense and budget proposals. And I say nonsense just to the average citizen, but it's actually very important even to mm-hmm. the average citizen, even though it may not directly affect us immediately. It does. And then Leslie tries to spice it up with some Jack London quotes. And I looked up who Jack London was. Did you look this up?
Me too, because I had no idea.
Oh, my God. Same. Okay. You say what you got first.
Okay, so I have that he was alive from 1876 to 1916. So in case people don't math, that's 40 years old.
Okay,
don't math. And I don't know. I like to know how old people are.
Yeah, well, in 46, you know? I mean, that's really young. But again, it just shows you how
But it was the 1900s,
exactly.
too. Yeah.
So like they didn't live as long, yeah.
Right. So he was an activist and a novelist. Mm-hmm. And then I just noted two of these people, two of these things, but two of his novels have become movies, mm-hmm. or many of them have. But the two that I noted were Call of the Wild mm-hmm. and White Fang. Mm-hmm. And I know White Fang because of New Girl.
Oh, okay.
Because,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because Schmidt is trying to get Cece. He feels like he's holding her back or something. And so he's trying to get her to break up with him. Remember when Nick is moving?
I think
and
so.
Jess throws the keys.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And she's like, don't white fang me, Schmidt.
Got
don't you dare
it.
White fang me. That's how I know it. Okay. Anyway, so that's what I have.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's very fascinating to me because I don't really know how that, I don't know what that means, like don't white fang me, because I don't really know what exactly the story was in White Fang.
Me either.
But here's what I found. So yes, novelist, social pioneer and activist in the late 1800s and early 1900s, but he wasn't necessarily a good activist. He was kind of an activist for some bad things.
Didn't know that. Cool.
Yeah, really sad. Nothing is pure. Nothing is pure in this world, and I'm sorry to say it, but it's just true. Anyway, so
puppies
are pure. Okay, puppies are pure. You're right. Good call. Humans are not pure. Okay. Mm-hmm. Humans are the ones that breed them and make them have breathing issues. Okay, so humans make puppies awful, not puppies themselves. Okay. Anyway, That's random. So, yes, he was around from the 1800s to early 1900s, correct? 1903 was his first really successful book, which was Call of the Wild. And then White Fang was also popular. And they were both set in the Klondike Gold Rush, which is when the when gold was found in the north and west part of Canada. So, like, right above Seattle, if you don't, like...
Is he Canadian?
He's not Canadian. He was born in... I think he was born in Seattle or California, maybe. It might have been, like, Northern California. But no, he traveled up to Canada with the gold rush that was happening at this time. And he sailed up there and with, like, a bunch of people that went up to do the gold rush. And he was one of the first... so, also, he got... Okay. He got really... I'll go on.
You're getting too excited.
I know. I'm getting too excited because there's a lot of random shit. And I don't understand, and you'll understand when I get there, but I don't understand why Leslie's so obsessed with him because he's not, like, on her same wavelength. But anyway.
Does it make sense why Ron is?
Yeah, it kind of makes sense why he is.
Okay.
A tiny bit. But anyway, so he got really sick and lost teeth, this Jack London fella, from traveling, and they didn't have, you know, the means or resources for medicines and things, so obviously. Mm-hmm. But his health really declined because of that trip, which was one of the reasons, I think, why he passed away so early, because, again, they didn't have a way to fix that. But he wrote a lot of dystopian novels, like what would be known as what we know now as science fiction. And he was passionate and worked really hard for unionization, which is really great, and workers' rights and things like that. But he also fought a lot for socialism and eugenics, which is weird. And just to remind everybody, eugenics is, you know, the race theory that everyone should be the same race and you should weed out all the non-populars, basically Nazism, okay? So I was like, what? But I guess it, so it, like, the first half makes sense for Leslie, I guess, like, workers' rights and whatever, and even Ron, I guess, but, like, I don't understand, like, and maybe she just likes him because he was a great novelist, and I didn't personally, like, look into, what these novels were really about. I think they were definitely about, like, nature and being outdoorsy, because it goes with the gold rush thing and sailing up there and being outside and things. So, like, I could see how Ron would be very into that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was just really confused. I think he, like, was also just really a prominent figure in, like, literature, and he was one of the first ones that talked about workers' rights and, like, activism in general. So maybe that's why. I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, anyway, that's Jack London. He does have some good quotes.
He does, yeah.
So, but I did have to give a shout out to Brooklyn here, too, because this moment really Brooklyn's my sister, for those of you just joining us. Because this moment really reminded me of her when she listens to finance books and, like, finance, like, podcasts and stuff. Because she's not like, oh my God, I would be an accountant kind of thing. She's just really fascinated by the whole idea of, like, categories and budgets and things like that, and how you make your money work for you. And I'm just like, nope, I don't want to listen to that. I don't want that. But that's what it reminded me of when Leslie's, like, so amazed by all this bureaucratic, like, BS that no one really cares about, like, in the real
world. And Anne's just like,
yes. Exactly.
Oh, she asks, is that too many Jack London quotes? And Anne goes, no. And then she, like, nods her head
to the camera.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, so then we find out that Anne ended things with Mark. And her talking head, she says, I ended things with Mark and I'm not going to talk about it. I actually love that for her.
Good for her. I literally have that note. Good for her.
Yeah. I was 1,000 on board with that. There was, 5% of me that was like, so then why are you having this talking head moment? Like, I don't get it. But that's just because the documentary crew asked her, like, so what happened kind of thing. So I get it. But, and then here there's also a deleted scene. Oh, my gosh, it's so funny. Where Leslie is still at Anne's house and she's like, oh, that's awkward. Like, about how she broke up with Mark. They're kind of sort of talking a tiny bit about it, but not really. And Leslie says that's Mark word, like awkward, but Mark word.
Oh, gosh.
I thought that was, it doesn't quite work, but I still think it's really A for effort funny.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I know. So now we have Tom handing out invitations for April's birthday bash. And my question to you is, do you think that he just decided to take charge of this, or did April ask him to help, or what happened here?
That's a great question. Let me set the scene in my brain for a second.
Yeah.
Because I think it's valid.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, because I'm kind of thinking that he just decided to do it.
And that's where my brain was going, was that he walked up to her and said, "You're turning 21 soon. How about you do it at this club?" Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Yeah, like, let's do it at this club." And I think she was enticed by it in some way because she tried to go to a bar with Andy and couldn't get in.
I agree.
And so now it's, I can have a bar party here and Andy can come and I can show him how adult I am.
Right. Right. I agree with that. Yeah, I think that's true. I would even venture to say that April wasn't even, like, Tom didn't even know her birthday was coming up, but, like, he randomly heard mm-hmm. it somewhere, or heard her talking about it, or she had, like, randomly brought it up, and then he just pounced on it.
Leslie could have also said something. She could have been like, April's, I can picture that, because they share an office.
Great call.
And then he was like, oh, I'm going to go start this whole thing.
That's it.
And get more people at the Snake Hole Lounge.
Okay, cool. That's what I'm here for. Yep. I decided.
Done and done.
I love that. That's so funny. Okay. So they talk about 9 p.m. is when it starts. I was like, nope, that's too late. Why? Why is it starting at 9? And I wrote down as mm-hmm. I was watching it, I hope it's on a Friday. But then we learn later that it's not, because they're at work the next day. Mm-mm.
They're at work. They're hungover at work the next day.
Nope. Hate it. Like, we even talked about this before on the pod where it's 8 p.m. is too late. I'm just like, no, bitch, I don't want that.
The only time I'm okay with staying up past that point or not being home by 9 mm-hmm. is when I'm in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I already have emotionally prepared myself.
Yeah.
That I'll be out late.
Well, yeah.
But
like,
there's no other way.
Vacations are different.
Yes, correct.
Like, if you're out of town or if you have off the next day or something like that, I don't mind staying out late for. But like, if you're trying to have a dinner that starts at 7 or even, okay, you know, it's just, yeah, it's just too much.
Yeah.
Because even on a Friday, I guess I would say even on a Friday, if it's like an 8 p.m. dinner, I would prefer it start earlier. But like when you're at mm-hmm. a club, 9 p.m. is fine. Maybe if it's on a weekend or if you're on vacation.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyway, it's the club life and I'm just not cool enough. So it's fine. Which I'm totally fine not being cool enough for that life. It's fine.
Yeah.
Speaking of the club life. You said what?
I'm not heartbroken by it.
Right. Same. Speaking of the club life, this is the most sexy, dangerous club in town. And Leslie says Tom added the word sexy.
Yeah.
So that's, it's the most
not,
dangerous.
That's not what they wrote.
Right. Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh. And he wants to leave the night with 1 to 4 girlfriends. I'm like, Tom, girl, Tom. Dude, like, listen.
Oh, Tom, you crazy, crazy man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, I hate this message of, or this montage of him standing outside the ladies' room, passing out invites, like, so sleazy. I don't like that you're outside of the girls' room, the bathroom.
There is just any guys that are listening and need this advice. There's something wrong with how you're approaching this if you have to try that fucking hard.
Yeah.
Like,
it's all
because Tom, we've seen the side of him that could very easily get a girlfriend, and at the end of this
we'll see it. Oh my God.
Right. So why are you being this douchebag? You think that's what girls want? That's not what we want.
Yeah, it's all based in insecurity. That's really what it is. Mm-hmm. And I mean, girls do it too, you know. Yeah. It's just like, it's, I mean, men do it more, in my opinion. Maybe not to some people. Sean would disagree with me, but love you, Sean, if you're listening.
I like that you're putting his side in here for him. I think that's great. You're fighting against yourself for Sean.
No, I love that we have different opinions and we can talk about it and still be friends.
That's
important.
Thank you
so much. Yeah. But I wanted to share this sting that we had that for Sleazy Tom. We haven't played it in a long time.
We really haven't. Wait. But this whole episode.
Oh my God.
Needs it.
Sleazy Tom.
Yes.
Oh my God. I forgot about
so
the beats
good.
At the beginning. Oh my God.
I love it.
All right. Anyway, so sorry. Had to play it. So anyway, now we're at where Ron likes Jack London too. Damn the wheel of the world. Why must it continually turn over? Because April and Leslie are having this little mom, big sister moment. And it's very precious. And I love that they didn't even, Ron and Leslie didn't even really talk about that they liked Jack London before this. They just found out, which I think is really cute.
Yeah, I thought it was very well done. Mm-hmm. And then Ron is talking about Hydrox.
Yes.
And he's like, it's a ripoff. It's a total knockoff of Oreo.
Yes. Yes, I have a whole deep dive on it. Did you do a deep dive too?
I looked them up and I was like, that's just a fucking Oreo.
Yes, literally. Oh my God. It's actually wild because, so they mentioned this, if you'll remember, if you are like a fan of the show like we are, you'll remember that when Tom has his Rent-A-Swag and John Ralphio's father opens up the thing across from him, the store across from him, that's basically the same thing.
Tommy's Closet.
Yes. The lawyer of John Ralphio's dad, aka the Fonz. Mm-hmm. Has he comes in and he says, oh, well, we're doing the same thing to you that Hydrox did, or that Oreo did to Hydrox. Like, you're Hydrox, we're Oreo. And I was like, what? Mm-mm. And so they mention it twice, actually. This is the first time, though.
Is that the truth?
That's the truth. But they only mention it very briefly. Why?
No, I'm one. Sorry. I'm trying to think. Is it the truth that Hydrox was first?
Yes.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, it is the truth.
That's what I'm freaking out about.
Sorry. I know. That's why I went on a deep dive. So you guys, look up Hydrox if you can. It's very interesting because the picture, and I'll post it, but the picture is like a very Renaissance, like medieval kind of font, which is really interesting. But yeah, okay, so here's the deep dive. So basically what we're talking about is that Ron doesn't want to go to these budget meetings because they're a nightmare and they cheap out on the snacks. And he has a comment about Hydrox cookies because they have those at the meetings. But Hydrox are the first Oreos. So like I said, they mentioned this before, and that's why I wanted to go ahead and like do a full deep dive on it. But Hydrox started in 1908, and they got their name from wanting to be something super pure and full of goodness, quote unquote. So they combined
chocolate and cream.
Yes, exactly. So they combine and sugar. So they mm-hmm. combined the purest elements, hydrogen and oxygen, to create this name of Hydrox, because it was like pure and wholesome and good and like fun, and not wholesome like health wise, but wholesome for like, you know, a nice little bit of sugar will make you smile. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
4 years before Oreo. I don't know if you had that, but yeah. I just had to Google when Oreo came out.
Isn't that wild? Sorry. So they were around. No. That is. Like, I always thought that, like, Hydrox was just discontinued and Oreos just started. But, yeah, Hydrox was out for 4 years. So, Oreo came out in 1912, and Hydrox was eventually discontinued in 1999. So, they had about 90 years of business, and then eventually they were largely discontinued, Hydrox, because they weren't being, like, sold enough because Oreo took over. They weren't completely discontinued, though. So first it was a company named Sunshine Cookies, and then Keebler bought it, which is those fudge stripe cookies, you know.
Oh, I love those.
Oh my God, love it
so much.
The little commercials with the elves in the tree, and yeah, that's what also so good. What they make fun of in Elf the movie, when like the little elves like start a fire in the tree when they're cooking. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's great.
But anyways, that's Keebler. And then okay, so then Carvel Ice Cream, if you're familiar with that chain, was using Hydrox cookies in their cakes and ice creams, and used the kosher status as a selling point, because Oreo used lard. I don't know if they still do or if they do now, but they did use lard at a time, and Hydrox did not. So Hydrox was like actually trying to be healthier. I don't know if that was like because they're Jewish or whatever. I don't think it was. But regardless, they also filed a complaint against Oreos because Oreos was hiding Hydrox on the shelves. What? I know. Total petty.
Well, that's some petty shit.
Bad bitch. Or bitch bad. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
You get me. Then in 2014, this company called Leaf Brands bought the trademark for the name Hydrox, and then they took out all the GMOs and artificial flavors. But I don't know what's going on with that or where they are now, because I've never seen, or I like Googled it and I couldn't really find it in any stores. But I think it's strange because I think that Hydrox let the trademark die out on there. So Leaf Brands was like, I can buy it, which I don't know why they would. They were on the way out by that time. So it yeah. was in 2014 after this episode. Maybe they thought they could like give them a revival or something, but I'm like, no. But anyway, so it is crazy though. Hydrox was out 5 years before Oreos, and I thought it was as if Oreos came out like way after Hydrox, like after, or not way after, but like they had died down or whatever. And Hydrox, but no, that's like not the case. So they were competing with each other, and then eventually Oreos won. I think it took them, it sounds like it took them about 90 years though, from what my research is, where they like Hydrox was doing business for like a decent amount of time back in, what was, when was it started? 1908.
Yeah.
And then by which that's early. Mm-hmm. That's a long time ago.
That's before either of the world wars.
Yeah. So definitely way before our time. So it's very interesting that they had about almost 100 years of business. And then Hydrox was like, okay. Our Oreos was like, okay, we're taking over now. It's so crazy. It just sucks.
I love Oreos,
but that's
though. I'm really sad that Hydrox is out, because I really was hoping that we could get some and try them.
I know. Both. Well, and I think you can still order them. I looked it up and they're still like around. They're not discontinued fully, but they're not in many places at all. Like, you have to really, really search for them. So it really sucks. And it also is really interesting to me on a further note, because I, you know, in my Googling, I was finding that there's so many other sandwich cookies, like with different shapes and sizes. But Oreo didn't even try to make it different. They just did exactly what Hydrox did. And, you know, like the little blondies, or where they, I can't remember the brand, but like there's different sandwich cookies around. You know what
you're
I
not,
mean?
We're not hurting for them.
Right. But Oreo straight up stole everything that Hydrox did. and then they started changing the game. You know, they did. Mm-hmm. They started doing holiday themes, and they started doing different colors, and they started putting designs on the cracker of the cookie. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, they just changed the game and made it better.
They
but
stepped
that's,
it up, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so it really
and they
sucks.
Do double stuff.
They do double stuff.
It's not
stuff.
Worth getting if there's not double stuff.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
And now they have you seen the Oreo Thins?
Yeah.
Where there's, like, not much cream in it at all, which is wild. Yeah. And, like, I don't it get the wild. Point of that, but what?
I know. I'm a double stuff girl. Mega stuff is a little much for me.
You said what?
Double
oh,
stuff
mega?
Is, like, the perfect amount
I
for
didn't
me.
Even know they had a mega stuffed.
Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, yeah. Ooh. I also just found out that they have an Oreo double stuff gluten-free cookie. And you can buy Hydrox on Amazon for $33.
For one package?
It's a pack of six.
Fuck. That sucks.
Not worth it. But like,
I know.
Also, who is buying their fucking Oreos on Amazon?
Dude, so many people buy it on Amazon. Do you know why? Because, well, number one, they're like lazy and just want to get it delivered. But number two, yeah. Whole Foods is now owned by Amazon. Do you know that?
Yeah, I did know that.
Yeah, so everybody's doing like it's like Amazon Fresh Market or whatever the hell, and it's Whole Foods.
Right.
Which is wild. Amazon, fucking Jeff Bezos, ruining our life. But at the same time, making it so fucking convenient and difficult to buy things anywhere
Seriously.
Else. I try so hard, though. If I can, I look at Target and everything first. And usually, I would say, like, I've taken it down so that, like, I would say probably 80% of my stuff is not on Amazon anymore. But there's that 20%. what is math? There's that 20% where I can't get it anywhere else. So, I don't care. And I'm not doing it because I hate Jeff Bezos, even there's that. But also just the delivery server, like, drivers. Like, I don't need it tomorrow, honey. I don't want you working on a Sunday to come give me, like, my fucking cat food or something stupid. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's my little tangent on Hydrox and Oreos. So we will see that again when Tommy's Closet / Rent-A-Swag comes back.
Yes. And so, we'll recap you on that then.
100%. So we found out that in this meeting that our city manager says all spending is suspended indefinitely. And I love Leslie's line of when she says indefinitely, like, which is when? So like 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
And then she has solutions to all these random scenarios, especially if they have the meeting on a boat, which is super random. That's so funny.
Yeah.
But nothing
She's
for
so
if there
prepared.
Is no master plan. And
well, and that because that doesn't cross her mind that that's an option.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And I really hate here, like, this whole episode, I mean, it is comical, but I'm just putting myself in Leslie's shoes, and I was like, I hate that Ron is just rubbing it in and saying they don't need to spend the money on pointless government things, like pointless social programs, and maybe I was just emotional / am emotional about this now, but I was enraged by him saying this, because I was like, they're working so hard to create fun and services to the community, and I just want Ron to, like, leave and get the hell out if he doesn't like the government. Like, you are literally working at a place that is supposed to provide services. So, can you just get out if you're going to complain about it?
Yeah, because you're also, I mean, even though Leslie does all the work, you're still the supervisor.
Yeah.
You're still supposed to help her through these issues.
Yeah. And you're also,
and
like, making money
not.
Off of it, and you're getting a pension, too. So, like, get the fuck out of my life, okay? I love Nick Offerman. You know, we love Nick Offerman and we love Ron.
100%.
But at this moment, I was just like, stop it. Especially, it's just like, ugh, whatever. I'm done with my rant. I was just really mad at him because it was hard to rewatch, especially in these times, mm-hmm. I think. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because this time of the government not really being on our side or women's side or anything right now, I just, I couldn't handle watching Ron, like, just shit on all these hard things that Leslie has been trying so hard to help people with. So, anyway.
Yeah. So it was bad timing.
Right. Bad timing.
In the episode too.
But also, I don't know. Bad timing, but also I think that I would feel this way.
No, I know. I think it's just the,
you're right.
The explosion of it is also just, it adds to it.
It's a lot.
You know?
So yeah. I love this also, though, when Ron's trying to calm her down and she says, we count backwards from 7 and think of warm brownies. I love that.
I love it so much.
It's like both such a nice balance of a distraction and a comfort. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
and she's a kid here, mm-hmm. and he's doing the thing that a parent would do with
his
kid. And because he sends her out and he's like, just go in your office and wait for them to show up. Wait for you to show up. You know, like she's doing that little. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's doing that little talk back thing.
I love that so much.
So.
Oh, and I said count backwards from 7, but he says start from 100 and then count back in 7.
I think it's
1,000. Oh, 1,000. Oh, my God. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Maybe she's done it so many times she has it memorized or something.
993.
Good for you.
I couldn't. No, I'm done. Right there. We're good.
You did one more than I did. Now Tom is talking to some gal on the phone saying she can't have the price be $13.50 instead of $15. Because basically he's saying, like, if you get it on a discount, like say my name, you can get it for $15 instead of $13.50. Or you can get it for $13.50 instead of $15.
$13.50.
Yeah.
It's $1.50. I'll take it.
Yeah. It's just not enough of a discount, like, homie.
Yeah,
for that.
It's not.
I do love a discount, though. You're right.
Yeah.
And then go ahead.
What were you going to say? Because we're probably going to the same place.
Well, there was a deleted scene right before this.
Okay, good.
Where Tom says he spent $7,000 on a home 3D movie system. And he was like, what girl isn't going to want to come over and watch Beowulf on 3D? Maddie's raising her hand. This girl is not going to want to. Thank you so much. I just love that they chose Beowulf. That is hilarious because no one's going to watch that.
Lord in heaven.
Unless, you know what? If you're someone that would want to watch Beowulf, I want to hear from you because I think that is admirable. But would you watch it with Tom at this moment? Not Aziz,
right,
but Tom.
Right. Yeah. Yes, correct. I'm glad you clarified.
Yeah. But it is funny because in this, I was going to say, so that was a deleted scene, but in the Andy and April's fancy party, they say to bring a 3D compatible TV so they can watch Avatar. And I think that Tom just should have hosted that party then, I guess.
I know.
Because he has it.
Yeah. Yeah. If they had kept that in, they probably should have.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I just think it's wild that he spent $7,000. That's insane.
And anything.
Right.
Well, that's not a house or a car.
Right. Also, Avatar 2 trailer came out and it tells us literally nothing, but I'm excited.
Oh, cool. Yeah. My friend Chloe from high school posted that in our high school friend group.
Oh, nice.
Today.
We didn't really get to see. So, like, are you not an Avatar person? Are you excited for the second one? Or was it just the timing of it all?
I need to rewatch it.
Mm-hmm. I think you do too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think when we first saw it as a group of friends, mm-hmm. I was so on board.
Yeah.
Like, I loved it. And then too many people saw it and then too many people were raving about it. And I think I was just like, it wasn't that good though, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't think it was that good. It was very innovative for the time.
Right.
I'll say that.
Yeah. I think you need to rewatch it too in this time. I think it was great. But I do understand why people would like think it was too hyped up, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
for being around that time. So
yeah,
anyways, not gonna go off on that tangent.
Nope, not today.
Because we
today.
Already did it, but I could talk about it forever. So now I'm at where Andy's asking Tom about dating a younger person. Are you there yet?
I am, and I want your thoughts on this.
Yeah, well, I have a little bit of a deep dive moment. Kind of.
Okay.
And then I will tell you my thoughts. So Andy's asks Tom about dating a younger person, and he says the old rule is half your age plus 7. And I was wondering if this is a real thing. Do people actually go by this rule? And it mm-hmm. is a real thing, which is very interesting. And I think it was more so in the time, like in this time, I think like in 2010 when this came out, I do think that people were thinking about it a little bit more because online dating was like kind of a newish situation. Right. Because I also just typed in half your age, like, you know how you type it in and then the thing pops mm-hmm. up. That's what popped up. Like it filled in the sentence of half your age plus seven. And there's a lot of articles on it. One article,
like scientific.
Yeah. Well, kind of actually, a couple have done like some, studies, if you will. And some were just opinion articles, like op-eds. But one article that originated in France says half your age plus seven is an unofficial rule of romance often credited to the French author Max Aurel in his 1901 Love Manual with the incredibly romantic title of Her Royal Highness Woman and His Majesty Cupid.
Oh, my word.
A very Bridgerton, Downton Abbey moment. But in it, his mathematical formula applied to the ideal age of a bride as half the groom's age plus 7 years. So it definitely started as sexist because this was typically mm-hmm. the man that was doing this formula and it was like the woman that needed to be younger or, you know what I mean?
And it's, yeah. I was trying to see how I work that for later, but it doesn't work. So never mind.
Well, ignore me. No, we'll talk about it. So then Malcolm X was also quoted as saying it. I found this in an article because by the 1950s, it was so popular, which is a weird detail that this website had that, you know, by that time, I'm just saying like by that time, it had become so popular that Malcolm X like was quoted as saying it. I feel like that's really weird, but
that is weird. It's
but then, so it was in like, so we knew about it. It started in 1901 and like 1950s, like people knew about it, but then it like resurfaced back in 2007. It was kind mm-hmm. of in the zeitgeist as something called the standard creepiness rule. And we had like quote unquote, which is hilarious to me because in 2010, OkCupid did research on it. Again, going back to our dating sites was like, kind of newish, and found that men typically do follow this, but that if they're in their late 30s, they like women in their early 20s, which I don't know. I mean, that's just a men thing, whatever. But I find it okay. I think it's an okay guideline, I guess, you know. I'm not saying it's not hard and fast at all, like Tom's saying it is, but I'm not mad about it. But I think that it should definitely go both ways. I don't think that the man should be like, so what's the least creepy of me to date a younger woman or whatever? Or like, what's the age that's the least creepy kind of thing? I don't know. I guess it just depends on your mental age level.
Well, so I mean, my thing is, if you're intentionally going after someone that age, mm-hmm. I think it's different than you falling for someone and being like, crap, you're too young.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Because the way I look at it, when Andy's asking, I'm like, I don't feel like you need to ask that question. Yeah. Because you genuinely care about her. You guys are on a similar wavelength. And yes, I understand why you were uncomfortable that she was 20, but now that she's turning 21 and now you have that, you know, okay, she's an adult in your eyes. Mm-hmm. I think the connection is genuine enough that you don't need to ask. But if you're Tom, or well, maybe not Tom doesn't do this, but if you're a person who's like, I'm not dating anyone my age, they have to at least be 5 years younger. Mm. I think there's a difference there.
Yeah,
I'm more like upset with that.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, I agree. Yeah, I mean, I don't really mind anymore now about ages. It just doesn't really affect me at all. I think that it really just depends on the mental level. I'm still breaking that cycle, though, because it's so ingrained, especially in women, that we should have an older man. I think that I am still trying to break that, like, sociological, sociological. Anyway, I'm just trying to break that kind of thought process that I need to have someone that's older than me. But I do think it's also true, at least in my experience, I'm not saying this is for everybody, but I have definitely found in my experience that a lot of younger guys act way younger than their actual age. So if they're already younger than me, like out on a number level, then they're mm-hmm. probably going to be at least 2 to 3 years younger, like mentally too. But that's just what my personal experience is. I have like talked to slash like seen guys that, but it's not the majority, that are younger right. by like a year or two, and then they're like on the same level as me. So like, you know what I mean? It just, I think it depends on your life experiences and what you've mm-hmm. each been through, and that way you can kind of meet in the middle.
Yeah. 100%.
Because there are definitely people that are the same age or that fall in that range of, you know, half your age plus seven that do not work for you. So,
yeah.
So
I am 27 days older.
Yeah.
And my fiance still rides the grocery cart down the aisle.
That says more about Ivan than you're dating. Preferences, I feel, it does. So.
But just saying, like, we could be the same age and there could be like childlike features
sure.
to a person.
Sure.
And they're still very mature.
Right. Right.
Shit.
Right. Well, I feel like if you have a bank account and you have a job and you run your business and you can, you're allowed to write down the grocery store.
I just
and you're
let
not being
an
ass about it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Yeah. He's not running
knocking
people.
People. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then you're fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is an interesting conversation for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And if anybody has a different vibe than we do, please let us know.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear everybody's opinions.
I agree.
I love that Andy asks if it's okay. And Tom says, that's totally fine. And he's like, Tom says it's okay. That probably means it's not okay.
I know. I thought that was like one of the more smart sides of Andy. He really, yeah. I thought it was so wild. I also thought it was weird that Tom can do this math in his head. He's like
yeah.
helping Andy get to it.
Well, he's faster than Andy.
Yeah.
At it.
I guess.
Let's not give him too much credit. No.
I know. I was trying to do the math and I was like, I don't have the energy right now to think about this. Plus, like, we're just so used to calculators. I'm so reliant on it. It's awful.
Mm.
But anyway, so, yeah, I love that. And also, in that talking head that you're talking about, there is kind of in the background in the courtyard, Tom, did you see that Tom's like waving around the flyers for the birthday party and
yeah,
like handing them out?
I did see that.
I thought that yeah. was so funny and a nice
still work in the room.
Exactly.
Still work in the room.
Nice little detail. But now I'm at That's where good. Mark and Ann are at JJ's.
Yeah, I am too. And I am. I have this feeling that they've done this more than once.
Yeah.
You know, they've met up. But I also like there's a part of me that's like, I really appreciate that you're trying to understand.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to go in and make the same mistake, you know, but it's like,
that.
You know, you don't.
Right. Yeah. There's know. It's a nice balance. I feel that you've got to have and you've got to. It just varies from person to person because like Mark wants to get this clarification on why Anne broke up with him. And like I think that it's nice that Anne gets this chance to explain, but I also want to make it clear that you don't owe anyone anything, especially Anne, because she, I feel like, was a good girlfriend, you know what I mean? And yeah. it just wasn't a match, but and yeah. I like the way that she's explaining it, you know, especially the last part, like the you're supposed to miss the person even if they've mm-hmm. only been gone for a little bit. And I do like that Mark makes like a little joke, like I should have yelled at you or fought with you or whatever for mm-hmm. much longer or more or whatever. So yeah, it's tough to watch.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, and this is one of those cringy scenes.
Yes. Yeah. But I thought it was
hard.
Really well done, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
I mm-hmm. wasn't so much cringing as I was like heartbreaking a little bit, like, oh man,
yeah.
that kind of sucks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not heartbreaking that they're like not together anymore, but heartbreaking like, oh, Mark, you just don't get it.
Yeah. No. Yeah, 100%. And I agree with Anne to a point, but I also don't think you need to fight all the time.
Yeah, I agree with
you
that
know?
Too. I was kind of
yeah.
like, okay.
Yeah.
You should fight maybe a little bit, but I mean, and I don't mean like fight. I think she, and you know this, like we know what she means. Like you should just be able to have conversations and disagreements and talk about it. Like you were saying at the beginning of the podcast where you're like, you can have a conversation
right.
and talk through it. You know what I mean? But it doesn't have to mm-hmm. be enough that we break up.
Right. And I think the other side of this, I'm going to go back to New Girl.
Yeah.
Is remember Jess and Russell break up because she doesn't feel the passion
right.
that she feels with Nick. Mm-hmm. And I think that's more where she's going. Not necessarily fighting.
Yeah.
But they didn't have, you can tell in the way they're acting together. They don't have passion.
Right.
you know.
It just depends on if it's healthy or not. Like, is it a healthy yeah. passion or is it an unhealthy passion? You know what I mean?
Right.
At the beginning, yeah, I think no, Nick and Jess's were unhealthy.
Yes, correct, correct, correct. Yes.
And it was really hard to watch because I'm mostly like, fighting. Too. Well, yeah, exactly. And it's all, I saw in an interview that she compared it to Jack and Diane from Cheers. Isn't it Jack and Diane? It's Diane and shit. Mm-hmm. What's Ted Danson's character's name? Regardless, because have you ever watched Cheers or have you watched any of it?
I've watched episodes when I moved to Boston.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you get pretty clear off that they are so into each other, but they fight all the time. And it's like, it's that kind of thing. It kind of like Leslie and Ben. We're like, then they meet in the middle. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But anyway, all right. So, back to Parks and Rec. So you now back at the office, Ron is excited that the auditors are coming because this is like fun for him and that the government might be like shut down or whatever the hell. This is also a fun foreshadowing moment because this is when Jerry says, I am 2 years away from my pension. And they show that again when people forget that it's his retirement. I thought that was brilliant that they brought that back because I'm sure they didn't intend to bring that back, you know?
No. They just found every moment where they know it happened.
Right. The old people walk in that look like death and they think that those are the auditors.
I love it.
I think it's great. And they're like, nope, go to the fourth floor because they need divorce filings.
Yes.
And then we've got our excitement happening. 8 minutes, 52 seconds, y'all. Chris and Ben are here. Or in John Balma, a.k.a. Barney's, Ben is here. Ted.
I love it. Yes.
Oh, my God.
I'm so excited.
I have such a deep dive. But did you do any, like, information? Because I feel like yours might be shorter. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, probably. I mean, I just know, like, Rob Lowe was a big deal before he got on the show. Mm-hmm. And then the one thing I know that he was on, I think it was after, is Grindr.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
The lawyer show.
Yes.
And then Ben is obviously at Adam Scott.
Right.
And Adam Scott is, he's been in a lot of comedies, but the biggest one that I know him from, and I absolutely hate him, is Step Brothers.
I know. He plays a tough character.
It's so hard to like him. But he's next to Jen Barkley in that movie.
Yes.
They're married to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So
Catherine
Hahn. So I think.
Hands down. Love her.
And if I remember correctly, maybe you know from your deep dive, did Adam Scott audition for a part in The Office?
I didn't find that in my notes.
Okay, I might be making it up.
Yeah, I didn't find that. And I actually just listened to an interview with him on the podcast that Justin Long, I think is his name. He was in Dodgeball. He was also in New Girl. He dates Jess for a while, the one that plays the violin. And is also a teacher. And they're just like super awkward and weird together, which is so crazy.
Yeah, I wasn't about that. I didn't think there was enough difference.
I love Justin Long. I think he's like so lovable and quirky and weird and like nervous. And it's just funny. But anyway, he has a podcast called Life is Short. And him and Adam Scott were on it. And
that's good.
What are you dancing?
That's cool.
At?
Sorry, I found something. So
finish
your thought.
Okay. he was talking about
crazy.
How... you asked if he auditioned for The Office. No, I was just going to say I found out some really interesting things from him, but I'll get into his deep dive a little bit later. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. No, yeah. He auditioned for Jim Halpert.
Oh, my God. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. That is wild. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
How interesting. They definitely have the same look and kind of like vibe.
Yeah, but I'm glad he didn't get Jim because he wouldn't have been Ben.
Yeah, that's very true. And also,
and he's much
better
Ben.
Oh my gosh, so true. So true. I just feel like how do I say this? I feel like Adam Scott's too intense to be Jim. Like he's not as lovable. But not like lovable. Yeah, I don't know how to describe.
Yeah, I know what you're I know what you're saying.
Yeah, he's just
he can't do the
I don't know.
The ease.
That
I don't care
it
ease of it.
It's ease. It's the I don't care ease. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Yes. Great. That's yes. Yes. Yes.
It's
yes,
a
yes.
new thing.
That's true.
That's what we're calling it.
Right. Oh my God. Okay. So yeah, I'm glad we found that out. First, I'm going to do a little bit of a recap on what Adam Scott has done before, and then I'm going to move into Parks. So, he first started acting when he was a teenager, like 18 years old. This is what I was going to say about Life is Short, the podcast with Justin Long. He talked about how he was in an REM music video, which is his first IMDb credit. Oh. I saw that he was just an extra, and he goes on this really long story of how he got to be in that music video. So check out that podcast if you're interested in it. I'll link it. But anyway, he was also on Boy Meets World, which is so funny because I totally remember him in it. But like, you wouldn't really think about it if you haven't watched Boy Meets World recently, or if you haven't like looked it up. Do you remember what he played, or like, can you picture it in your head?
I can picture it.
Okay.
But I can't remember who he played.
Okay, I took a picture of it, and I'm going to post it. I want to see if I can find it for you, Maddie. Because when I saw this picture, I was like, oh my God, duh, hello.
Oh my gosh.
And he's
oh
only,
my gosh.
He's only in like maybe four episodes, maybe three or something. But you'll understand because he plays a bad guy. He's like a bully, and he has a chain, and he looks all badass. And in some episodes, he has like a longer haircut. But like basically, he's playing like the new bully, if you will. Whereas Frankie, who is like the bigger guy, and then they had a shorter guy who I can't remember his character name that was like the minions for these bullies. And and then there was a guy in like a leather jacket that was like the OG bully kind of guy, and he was like the gang leader, if you will. And so Adam Scott and the gang leader bully kind of have like a little moment together where they fight, or not fight, but they have like a little disagreement, and they're like, who are the minions gonna side with? And his name is
the better bully.
Who's the better bully to follow? Because they're both bad, but it's like the OG bully was more of like a like Italian mobster kind of character, and Adam Scott was like a kind of like a Ben, but like mean and vicious. Like he was really slick and really kind of like I almost want to say like Silicon Valley, like kind of just like tough guy, but also not like nerdy at the same time. I don't know. Maybe that's off, but I think I'm describing that in a way that I understand anyway. So his name is Griff Hawkins, and he plays a senior. And so look that up. I'll post the picture, and you guys will understand. Like, he's a little bit, and I say Silicon Valley because he almost plays like an intellectual badass, like super sexy kind of badass. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe not Silicon Valley, maybe like just like a Harvard bully. You know what I mean? Like, I'm better than you, and I'm smarter than you, and I can like be a little bit more diabolical in my plans. You know what I mean? Instead of just like, I'm going to beat you up, which is what the OG guy did. Anyway, thank you for being with me as I explain through all of this. So he has scenes with Feeny and everything. It's hilarious. But then he did a lot of work in indie movies and random guest stars and sitcoms and series. He was also in that movie Art School Confidential, where he actually worked with Frankie from Boy Meets World, or Ethan Suplee. Cool. Is his name in real life. But we saw him also in Party Down, have you heard of this show?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. It's like so funny. Not Regina. Oh my gosh. Who's the girl in Mean Girls? The one with the black hair?
Rachel McAdams. Oh no.
Janice, but like Janice. Yeah, Janice. I forgot her name.
Is that her name in real? Oh yeah, yeah.
But whatever. Okay. Anyway, who was also in New Girl. Wow, yeah. This is a lot of crossover with New Girl.
It is a lot of girl.
But anyway,
crossover.
Janice from Mean Girls and Adam Scott are the two leads in Party Down. And there's a bunch of people that were also in Wet Hot American Teenage Summer, which is, or not Teenage Summer, Wet
I heard
Hot
that's
American
good.
Summer. So funny. Paul Rudd's in that one too. It is Paul hilarious. Rudd. You would love it. It is exactly my sense of humor. It's so stupid and so funny. And it's basically all these adults playing kids. It's so good. But Party Down got canceled, and it's about this catering group, or it didn't get canceled, but like Stars wasn't sure if they were going to continue on, and that's why he actually auditioned for Parks, and they were like, we might take this on to the next series or next season, but we don't know. Right. And so he was like, well, I don't know if I want to wait for that. So he got he accepted this part, which was great for us.
Good anyway. For him. Yeah.
He also did. Oh, by the way, Party Down is being revitalized. So there's going to be a new series and he is going to be in it. I don't know if Janice is, but it's about this catering company. And it's so funny. It's about all these actors and artists that are either still working to be actors and artists.
Or, it's all clicking in my head. Yes. Yep.
I think it's on Hulu. But it is hilarious. And when I worked in catering in LA, we would all talk about it. And it's so accurate. It's very, very accurate. It's either like they're still working to be actors or actresses, or they're like, you know, they've died out and this is what they're doing now. Died out. I just mean they're burnt out from their career.
Yeah. All the auditions. Yeah.
Right. And Wet Hot American Summer, Amy Poehler was in too. So they worked on that after. But He did do Step Brothers, as you know, but he also did Our Idiot Brother with Paul Rudd, which was interesting. But on I think it was on this interview, actually. So he was doing Step Brothers because someone else apparently had dropped out, and he was called into, I don't know if he auditioned or was just called to do it, but he wasn't really supposed to be that part, which is really fascinating to me. And he was he said he was like, kind of nervous and out of his league with, because the, you know, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly and everybody is so improv heavy, and he was like, I don't really know what to do. And somebody like had told him to, I think it was another director, told him to just like write down a bunch of jokes on like a piece of paper and like think about what you want to say, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But he was still nervous. And so I thought that was really interesting, because I think a lot of people picture him as like, that's his like first skyrocket thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he also knew Paul Rudd. And I think that's kind of how he got in the circle with everybody and how they knew to call him. So I thought that was really interesting.
That's really cool.
So basically he's in the Sureverse also now, because he was in The Good Place as well. He also makes a cameo in Nick Kroll's show Big Mouth, which is hilarious. And now he's in Severance on Apple TV, which I have not watched yet, but everyone, like literally every podcast and person has told me that it's been amazing. So I need to watch that. It's like the best show on TV right now.
Yeah.
So there's that. But I think it's wild because I know this, I don't know if anyone really cares about it, but I just think it's great that Party Down is now being revived when he said no to it originally. So like the universe just like circled back around for him, which I think is really interesting. And now I have a couple quotes that Mike Schur said about Adam Scott. He said that he was, quote, brilliant and funny and praised his comedic range. He said there just aren't that many people with a comedic range that span Step Brothers to Party Down. And some people said that the Ben Wyatt character closely resembles the character he plays on Party Down, because Ben had a kind of a great success at a young age and then went downhill and is like bended. And then his character on Party Down was also an actor who then became a caterer after his acting career declined. But Adam Scott, and I agree with him, says that they're really different characters and circumstances. I mean, like, sure, there's like general like similarities, I feel, but it's definitely different. So I think it's more of just that they were both burned by life. You know what I mean? Like that kind of outlook.
Yeah. So 100%. They have a chip on their shoulder. That's great.
But anyway, so then I was going to say one last thing is that the idea of a character trying to rebuild a government career, this is all from Mike Schur, following a humiliating public failure, was one of the original ideas for the series of Parks and Rec in general. But that one was like ultimately put on the board in a note card, and we didn't really get to it until now they could introduce this Ben Wyatt character. And so they had this idea of a shutdown for the government, but they didn't know where to put it. So now that Ben Wyatt is here, they were able to incorporate it in.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that's my little moment on Adam Scott for everybody. And then I did message his publicists, and they have not. Well, no, wait. One message back and said that he wasn't available, which, like, again, I don't think that he ever saw the email, but that's okay.
Right.
I have found that publicists are the ones that are going to say they're not available, which I get. It's whatever. It is what it is. But eventually, hopefully, we'll get to talk to him. But, yeah, so that's Adam Scott, and now I have have a Rob Lowe breakdown.
Okay.
It's a lot shorter. Okay. but still, it's amazing. So fun fact, he was born in Charlottesville, which is only an hour from where I'm from. So that's cute. It's where UVA is, University of Virginia.
Yeah.
But he's from Ohio. So they moved here. They moved there, like, from Virginia when he was young. So he was born in Charlottesville, but not raised there. So he's like Adam Scott, where he started acting so young in his teens. And he joined after he was done with his show, Brothers and Sisters, which, do you remember when that show was on, by the way?
Mm-mm.
Okay, it was the show, what's her name, Ally McBeal. I can't remember her name in real life, but the gal who played Ally McBeal was in that show. She was the lead on Brothers and Sisters, and my mom and I used to watch that. Like, it was one of the ones in high school where she had her schedule of shows. She was like Kevin in The Office, where where he's like, it's Friday, so Ghost Whisperer or whatever it is. But anyway, I think Rob Lowe's character dies in a car accident or something like that, and then he left and was able to audition, actually, or not audition, but
it was that close.
Yeah,
Brothers and Sisters.
Yeah, it was, because I think so anyway. I want to say that was, when did I graduate? I graduated high school in 2010, so they started in my junior year of high school, which is nuts, because I don't think I watched Parks and Rec. No, I didn't in high school.
Yeah.
So
I was in college when I started watching it, I think.
Right. So it was pretty soon after. But anyway, it is crazy though to think about that. And I mean, you guys know Rob Lowe. He's done literally everything. Wayne's World, Austin Powers, Tommy Boy, which is funny because he plays a rich businessman, like, bad guy in most all of those. The West Wing, obviously. And now he's in 911 Lone Star. The Grinder, which you talked about earlier. Side note, that was a show with Fred Savage, if you have forgotten. And I think it's on Hulu, too.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
And it got canceled. So we're just talking about all the Savage Sad brothers, because Fred Savage is the brother to Boy Meets World Savage, which I forgot his name, but whatever. What's his name? His first name? I don't know. Anyway.
That's going to piss me off. Holly. Hold on.
Okay, you can Google it. I'll wait. Friends. I want to say Corey Savage, but that's Corey.
That's what I wanted to say, too. And I was like, that's his name in the show.
Ben.
Okay,
nice.
Ah, look at you.
Nice. Memory. It just took me a while. Another Ben in our lives. But anyway, I totally forgot to say, and then I'm almost done, you guys. I forgot that I was an extra on The Grinder. Did I ever tell you that?
You've told me that. Yeah. You told
and
me that.
Natalie Morales, a.k.a. Lucy, who we meet at the end of this, was also in that show, and I talked to her. Did I tell you that, Tom? Or I don't know who I told that. But I talked to her, and she was so, I mean, I didn't say anything. Like, we didn't have a long conversation, obviously. She was, like, I was in the wings, basically, waiting for them to call extras. And I told her I liked her jacket. She was wearing this, like, suit jacket blazer thing. And she was like, oh, it's just wardrobe. Thank you. And she was, like, super chill and nice, exactly like you'd imagine her. And I just thought that was so sweet, because you don't have to respond to an extra. No. I mean, you should because of being a human, but
they're humans.
So that was really fun that I met Natalie Morales. But other than that, there are some fun facts. So first thing is that as a joke in the opening credits, they wrote introducing Rob Lowe because he had already been in so many things. So they wrote introducing because that word is usually used for people that haven't been in many things.
Right.
And they did admit that they cast him because they hoped he would help improve ratings. So just FYI on that. That is a thing. Because he was only intended to be in this episode, Freddy Spaghetti, which is the next episode, and then like 6 episodes in season 3. But he wasn't supposed to be in the whole entire show. And so I thought that was really interesting to me because that's, I mean, he's just a regular cast member in my eyes. So it's really interesting.
They kind of just work it in that way, too, because he's supposed to go back to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Right. And he does.
Right.
And then he comes back down.
You're so right. That's so true. That's so true. I didn't even think about that. And then Harris Whittles, our fave writer, is quoted as saying it was like if he had just gotten to Pawnee on day 2, he would walk into Starbucks and every single person would know him. And he'd be like, hey, Jimmy, how's the dog? Hey, did you catch anything when you went fishing? He would know everybody. So Harris Whittles.
There's no way Pawnee has a Starbucks.
Oh. Okay. Insert coffee shop, whatever it's called.
Yes. Sorry.
No, you're probably right. Maybe now they do, but definitely not in 2010 when he came.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's saying, Rob Lowe is quoted as saying he loved playing the part, which he described as a big fat nerd, quote unquote, and quote, the most positive person in the world with unrelenting enthusiasm, adding he is also very, very intense and specific. So whether he's ordering how he would like his water or describing the kind of colors he wants on a graph, everything means the world to him, which mm-hmm. I think is exactly how he played it. So
I have to say.
Yeah.
He's Chris. Uh-huh. He walks in and he is Chris.
Yeah.
That is who we know as Chris Traeger. There's no building his character. Mm-mm. There's no changing over time. He is Chris.
Yes, I 100% agree. And I think he similar to John Ralphio. They just come mm-hmm. in and they are their character.
They own it.
Yeah.
They own their character.
They know yeah. who they are. They're committed. They're ready to go. And like, you know, we do learn that once he starts to date Anne, he definitely has that emotional kind of mental health thing. But that's still, he's still, like you said, he's just still him. He still approaches that mental health with the same Chris Traeger, mindset.
Attitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, he has a Bible of, like, what, like, his list of things that he goes, checks off to make sure that he's being his self. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
I love that. But now, so we've got Chris Traeger points directly at their face and slowly repeats everybody's name when he's meeting them to be sure he remembers their name. And Mike Schur said this was this habit was the first element that the writers conceived for the character. So this was his first like characteristic. He's going to point at people and know their names. I thought that wow. was really interesting.
That is.
There is a deleted scene where he does this to Donna because he doesn't do it in the show of what we see. And she kind of like takes his finger and holds it and has this like seductive grin. It's so funny. Very Donna.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
But anyway, so now I'm at where they're talking. And Ben is awful in this first episode. Like they're really trying mm-hmm. to do that. In this scene, when we first meet him, he's awful. He's trying to do this yeah. dynamic of, you know, good cop, bad cop. And Ben is so fed up with being the bad cop. You can see it in the background when Chris is like being so nice and friendly. He is just like, okay, can you just say what the fuck you're going to say so that I can just like tear these people's dreams apart real fast?
Yeah. And I think we have to take that into account, too, mm-hmm. because when they stop all this back and forth, Ben's a different person. Mm-hmm. And it's because he's holding the weight of everyone's going to hate me and everybody's going to love Chris.
Yeah.
He's holding that. And it sucks.
I know.
And I feel bad for him.
It sucks that he can't, like, be a balance of it, too. It's almost like they have to have both sides of the extremes or whatever. Mm-hmm. But also because he's now used to this, right? Like, we haven't seen him get any sort of support from anyone else in his life to... Yeah. have the balance or have the ease that Leslie might show him a little bit later.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he has no feelings at this moment. And Leslie has this talking head where she says she made eye contact with Chris Traeger and it was like staring into the sun, which I love because Leslie, that is not a good thing. Staring into the sun will burn your eyeballs out, which is kind of yeah. what is about to happen to you. Like the equivalent yeah. of that.
Get ready.
But it sucks because like, I mean, to her credit, Chris gives her such hope and leads her on to think that this will be
okay.
And
that's the problem.
Yeah,
I don't
such
like
a problem.
This balance they have. I don't like it.
It's not good. Because
it's not healthy for either of them.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, to Ben's credit, he is the truth teller.
And Chris needs to know how to give. And it's the advice that Ben gives later. Like, Chris needs to be able to give bad news.
Yeah.
That's just like, it sucks, but it's part of life.
Right. I know. They definitely need to balance each other out a little bit more. So, and to us, like, maybe, like, to the audience member, for sure, they did such a good job of mm-hmm. like, giving that perception of, like, the audience being so freaked out by these people. Like, who the fuck are these people? You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. they were just placed in here. We don't get any backstory on them. We don't get any sort of information. They're just auditors in the end. But Leslie's like, I love this. To Ben, she's like, I like your shirt. And Ben totally like cuts her off and disregards it. And she's lying about how much they love Jerry. She's just trying to stick up for him because they need yeah. him to be like in the wheel, which I think is really interesting. Like the wheel of the Parks Department, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's really sucky.
Yeah, I know. It's so sweet.
So they have to cut the budget by 40 or 50%. And Ben says Chris said the like tinkering line because that sounds a lot better than we're going to gut it with a machete.
Mm-hmm. And I love Ron's laugh.
He's laughing so face. Much. I know. The Ron smile is the cutest little thing you ever did see. Mm-hmm. I don't like why he's smiling, but the actual facial expression is precious.
Yeah. I have, this is my favorite line here.
Yeah.
In the episode. What is a not gay way for me to ask him to go camping with me?
I know.
I love that line.
I have a fun fact. So about that line. So this line was not in the original script. It was added the day of filming. They had a bunch of alts. Like, you know how they always have alts. But this one was the first one they filmed. And they didn't even film like the original line that was in the script because the staff just thought this one was the funniest. And it was so good. So crazy.
That's cool.
So
cool little tidbit.
It's so good. I love that that's your favorite line because honestly, I think that that sticks out for a lot of people. So, but I really am on Leslie's side in this moment, even though I know it's unprofessional from an audience standpoint. But I loved when she said, "You're a jerk," because I want to do that all the time. But I don't.
Yeah. No, I have a note about that later, too.
Okay.
Parkinson pals, and there's also therapy too.
All right, guys, that's it for part one. Please join us next week for part two, where we'll be at the Snake Hole Lounge getting some Sarius April and Andy moments. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, give us all the feedback. There's a little plus button on the top of your phone screen or wherever you're listening to this, but especially if you have a phone, to subscribe, you know, click that little plus sign, leave us a review, leave us some comments. We also have an Instagram, Park Pals Podcast, if you haven't followed us. We also have a Facebook now, so, and a Twitter, all at Park Pals Podcast. So yeah, it's there's lots of ways to find us. But yeah, please join us next week for part two, where we will get into all sorts of situations with Leslie and Ben having a moment, figuring out where the hell they are. But yeah, and then Andy and April, always a great time. And then Trish comes back. So yeah, let's just hang tight for part two. Okay, see you guys soon. Have a great week. Take care of your mental health above all else. And, you know, have a great time. Just live life, you know? You got this. Okay, bye guys. See you next week.
There's a Parkinson pals, and there's also therapy too.